Hello. Good evening, everyone. Charlotte here from Enriching Environments on Tuesday, the 13th of September, from live from here in Dubai for this Instagram Live Masterclass. And thank you so much, everyone who's joining. Hi, Deepika. Thank you so much. Hello, Russia. Hello, Handcraft. Hello, everyone who's joining. And this evening, we are going to be talking, hi Zara, we are going to be talking about a really, really beautiful topic, a really beautiful subject, and a subject that's really dear to my heart in terms of the magic we can feel and the magic our child feels, the magic that is created when we don't correct our child, when we allow them to do things for themselves without, hi David, without correction. And before we dive into the live, just want to draw your attention to my first book, The Montessori Mission, which is a love letter to Montessori and the beautiful diverse communities in which Montessori thrives around the world, how each of these people in their communities, there's 10 participants, they answer the same 10 questions about Montessori. And then with poems and artwork and photos of their Montessori journey, everything that was relevant and beautiful from their culture, they put into this book. And then I wrote a reflective practice for each chapter, drawing on the teachings, drawing on the wisdom from each of these guests, allowing us to go deeper into our self-knowledge, our understanding of ourselves, our understanding of our children. So this book, The Montessori Mission, is available on Kindle and paperback from Amazon, wherever you are joining in the world. I dip into it almost every day to get quotes, to get wisdom from these incredible people who contributed. And I highly recommend it. The American Montessori Society is doing a piece on it. It's going to be featured at the Montessori Europe Conference in their, Congress in their program next month. I would love for you to dive in as well and let me know how you feel. So, back to this evening. Feeling the magic is created when we don't correct our children. We allow them to develop in their own space and own time, and we allow them to, we don't allow them to do anything. When we witness the unfolding of their soul, that's really the message that I want to transmit this evening, is that this is about witnessing our child and being there in with our child in that space as they unfold. That's the most powerful thing for me to give to you this evening. And so, as we begin, let's just take a moment, and people who are listening afterwards on all the different podcast platforms, let's just take a moment to set our intention for this masterclass this evening. What would you like to take away? How do you want to feel at the end of this masterclass? Let's have a deep inhale. Just set our intention, do a few shoulder rolls if you like. Feel, how do you want to feel? What do you want to receive from this masterclass this evening? How are you feeling in your body? What tight spots are there? How was your day? If you're in the evening like we are in Dubai, how was your day? If you're in the US and your day's just beginning, what plans and intentions do you have for your day? Hello everyone who's joining. So, before we begin, I really want to share a really, really special story about the magic that is created when we do not correct our child. And it's a story about my daughter, Olivia, who's over 7.5. She'll be 8 in a few months, in December. And the story is about something that happened last week. And Olivia has been learning to write in the past year and learning to read in the past year. In Montessori, we follow the child, so it's when it, according to the child's interests. So every child learns at a different time. There's not a prescriptive approach where everyone has to learn the same thing at the same time, like their name or anything else. It's very much child-led, like all things in the Montessori world, in the Montessori classroom. So, Olivia writes on her whiteboard that we have a family whiteboard and we write what we're going to do every day. That's the three of us, Olivia, Harry, and me. And Olivia writes on there every day. She's going to get up, she's going to do yoga, she's going to write in her journal, she's going to have a shower, and she would always put on there climb trees. And she would spell trees TRRES. So one extra R. And I didn't ever correct her. I know that we allow the unfolding of the child, and so what my role is to just hold that space for her when she's writing and trust, know that one day she is going to realize the right spelling for tree and every word. And this beautiful moment happened last week. So she's writing every day, climb trees, TRRES. And she wrote it one day, climb trees. She wrote this last week. And then she ran off and went to a book. Looked at the book, and I saw her like flicking through the pages sort of intensely. And then went back to her whiteboard. So the whiteboard's just there on my left. And then looked at the word trees and sort of rubbed it out a bit. And started again and wrote trees again, but this time with only one R, not two R's. And then she went back to the book and flicked through frantically again. And then she came to me and said, "Mama, I've just realized trees has got one R and two E's. And for all this time, I thought it had two R's and two E's. I've just realized." And that was it. That was her moment of realization. And it was so, so powerful. It was so beautiful. Just in that moment, she realized for herself, by her own means, in her own time, through a combination of writing and reading, and just that familiarity of reading and seeing it written down, she had made that connection. Those neural pathways had fused that the way she was writing trees was incorrect, and that was how it was written in a book. And that was such a powerful moment. She absolutely, and the intrinsic motivation a child gets from a moment like that, and I could see and I could feel her energy. And she kept on then stepping back and looking at the whiteboard, and then looking at it again, and then stepping back and looking at it again, and going back to the book, and kind of going back and forth and back and forth. And I could feel everything working, all the cogs working. I could see and feel in her energy what a tiny but a huge step this was for her, and the power that she got from that, realizing she could work it out for herself. And there's nothing, it's a myriad of different ways that this supports self-confidence, and this supports resilience, and this supports problem solving. Mainly the fact that the child has worked out for themselves, and that I didn't correct her before. I'm not sure if she's drawn the dots yet that I didn't correct her before, but certainly the fact that she managed to work it out for herself does so much more for her self-confidence and her self-belief, and bigger picture, what she thinks she's capable of, than any other words that I could give, any other affirmations that I could give, all the things that I do, all of the positive language I could use. Nothing comes close, no praise, no reward, no, nothing can come close to the feeling that a child has when they achieve something for themselves in their own time, in their own way. And this is, let me give you some examples of how that can play out for children of different age groups. Actually, before we go there, what I would love you to do is thinking of that story of my daughter Olivia, and feeling into that feeling. When did you feel that feeling last with your child? When have you felt that feeling? Whether it's a two-year-old trying to put their shoes on and they put them on the opposite feet, and you don't correct them, and they manage to do it for themselves. And obviously the joy for them is that the fact they've put their shoes on, they don't care whether they're on the right foot or not, because they can't feel that yet. Or the three-year-old that's got dressed and their t-shirts on back to front. But the joy, the point of celebration and joy for the child. I want to come back and not say celebration. The point of joy for the child, intrinsic joy, comes from the fact that they did it for themselves. And so so that's for about a three-year-old. The two-year-old is the shoes on the opposite feet when they've tried, and they'll continue doing that into 3 and 4 years old. But the t-shirt on back to front, that's very common for 2, 3, 4 year olds, or even inside out and all those other things. Then if we get into older children, so it will become perfectly normal for 5, 6, 7, 8 year olds to be getting numbers upside down, 6 and 9 upside down and back to front, B and D, all of these things. And if we can just trust, hello everyone who's joining, if we can be in that space of trusting that they will unfold in their own time, in their own way, that is so much more powerful than any words we say. And we'll come to the non-correcting part in a moment, and they have that intrinsic sense of motivation that shows that we trust them, that shows that we are not so enmeshed with them that we can't see their journey and their progress and their trajectory. What we really are showing in this magic when we don't correct, we are showing that we trust them on a deep level, and we are there to witness their unfolding. And that's what we're there for. If we think of Khalil Gibran's beautiful poem, Your Children Are Not Your Children, and how he speaks of them coming through us but not belonging to us. Just that simple poem. And then if you've read The Conscious Parent by Dr. Shefali, she speaks so much about this non-attachment, non-attachment to outcome that we seek to have, and we're not gonna get it right, we're imperfectly perfect human beings, but this non-attachment to outcomes with our child. They're not an extension of us, they are separate from us. And so they will find their own way of learning and their own way of navigating life. And to have the confidence to do that and to deeply trust in themselves, we have to give them opportunities to problem solve, and we have to allow them to do things in their own way and give them that space and time for them to work that out as they go along. And what that looks like is for a two-year-old putting the shoes on back to front, or the t-shirt on back to front, or the numbers and the letters upside down. Those are the really, really, really powerful moments, and that just shows such a deep level of trust that we have in our children. Hello, everyone who's joining. What was I going to say? Oh, the next piece is, yeah. Feel into, so that story I told about Olivia, my daughter, at the beginning, about I could see and really feel her energy and feel her joy as she worked out the correct spelling of tree for herself. When, I'd love you to close your eyes for a moment and recall, when have you felt that moment of magic with your child? When have you felt that moment of magic when you have observed them, you've watched them work something out for themselves, accomplish that something for themselves? And it may not be the way that you have done it, but that joy, can you remember? I can feel it in my heart really strongly. Can you remember, can you recall, firstly from your memory, but then secondly from your body's memory, what did that feel like? And can you remember that energy that was coming from your child? You know, maybe they exclaimed, I did it by myself. And obviously that's a verbal, you know, notification for us that of how they feel. But most importantly is the body memory they're having in that moment that they did something for themselves. That is how, it's a bigger topic of self-confidence, of course, but this is one of the really, really powerful ways that we can cultivate self-confidence in our children, just very, very simply allowing them to do things in their own way and not correcting them just because it doesn't look like we the way we would do it. So let's take a little moment. I'm going to have a sip of water and just feel into what the feeling was like in your body, what the feeling looked like in your child's body when you didn't correct them, when they achieved something for themselves. What was the look like on their face? Did they say something? Did they not say anything? Was it just a smile? How could you see your joy? Oh, goodness. David said something sad, and I'm going to actually talk about the reasons that we do correct in a moment. But David's just said, I still remember the critical voice of my mother every time I iron a shirt to this day. That is really, it's really, really powerful, isn't it? Those moments where we've been hurt by our parents' feelings, and we're going to do it to our own children. You know, of course, no parent, very, very few parents set out to harm their children or wound or hurt their children's feelings. But it's really poignant for us to realize those moments that hurt us and that wounded us all those years ago. And then we have a reality check because we think, oh my God, what am I doing wrong now with my own children? And that is a spiral in the story we mustn't get into. And that's when, in those moments, we come back to this feeling in our body. What is that feeling of joy? What does that look like on our child's face? What does it look like on our, what does it feel like for ourselves? If we can't access this feeling or this remembrance in of when our child has done something for themselves, if you're beating yourself up because you have corrected your child and you think you've been too harsh or what have you, let's look at this a different way. Can you feel into the times where you achieved something for yourself and what you felt in your body? Did you tell anyone? Did you not tell anyone? Did you write it down in a journal? Did you feel it in your body? Did you feel that gratitude and joy just for yourself? And then it's going to be easier to access for your children. Let me have a sip of water. Hello, everyone who's joining. So now we're just going to pop a little bit into why we have this tendency to this knee-jerk reaction to correct when our child does something wrong, like if their older child spells a word wrong or puts their shoes on the wrong foot or puts their t-shirt on back to front or does their numbers and letters up back to front or upside down. There's a couple of reasons for that, and mainly it's a conditioned response, so what we learn from our own childhood, and that's probably coming from embarrassment or shame. You know, what will other people think if my children's feet are on back to front, or feet are on back to front, if their children's shoes are on back to front? What are other people going to think? What are other people going to say? And we can also feel, and it's really interesting because a client said to me once, oh, but I'm just protecting them because people are going to say, oh, you know, people are going to make comments about, oh, his t-shirt's on back to front, so I want to save him from that embarrassment. And I was like, no, this is you, one, this is not his embarrassment or her embarrassment, that's your embarrassment, so that's something that you're loading onto him or her. But the second piece is really being an advocate for our child and a security guard for our child. So if someone does say comments like that, and people say things like that, you know, not intending, you know, Harry's told hundreds of times every week that, you know, oh, people think he's a girl because he's got long hair and his hair is really long and beautiful and all these type of things. But it's up to us to advocate. So if our child is a child that is working out the feet to go on the right. Hi, Jenny. Feet